Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 425, Let Him Live Big in You. Pastor Sarah Velasquez has delivered this message on Sunday, June 22nd, 2025 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Glad you're here today. Praise God. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. I'm getting better at that. Praise the Lord. Did you know that when you come on Sunday, you know, you're not just coming to sit in the service, but you're coming to be equipped. Part of our mission, and it's on written on the bulletin, is go, equip, love. It's hard to go in love if you're not equipped, right? We should be endeavoring to do all of those, but equipping is the role of the leadership here, the fivefold ministry, and your role is to receive from that and to be a part of how you can participate in the equipping, and you can receive that and open your heart and be equipped so that you can go and love. And together we do that, and together we can stand in victory and walk to victory, because we are in the end times, aren't we?
Yes.
When you see those images, it's so clear, starkingly, is that a word? No, probably not. It's just, what's the word I want to say? It's just like so starkly obvious, clear, that Jesus' return is coming soon, right? He's coming back, and we want to be ready. We want to be the bride that's prepared. I keep seeing a bride. And it's such a beautiful image. We are the bride. Let's get ready. Let's beautify ourselves. Yes. Let's prepare. Bride without spot or wrinkle. That's us. Praise God. Get us there, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So today we're going to just take a look. We're going to really hone in on a certain passage of scripture in Matthew 16. Are you guys enjoying really digging into the book of Matthew in your cell groups? Yeah. Praise God. It's been rich. It's been really awesome. That's another part of the equipping. When you go to your cell group, you are equipped. Together, we're equipped in the Word of God to know what God says. It's important to know what God says, right? And so in this section of scripture toward the end of Matthew 16, it's just awesome. There's important stuff in there. And maybe this message, I'll try to make it come alive. The Holy Spirit really is good at doing that. That's his role. That it's not heavy or burdensome, but maybe this subject isn't so easy to talk about. But let's just dive in. Are you ready?
Yes.
Got an open heart? You ready? Open ears? Praise the Lord. So let's look at Matthew 16. We're going to start at verse 21 because it's kind of the context and the backdrop of where we're going to go. And so let's go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Matthew 16, verse 21, we'll stop it after 23. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Everybody gulp. Wow. Okay. Everyone wants to hear the Lord's voice, right? You want to have the Lord Jesus respond to you. But I'm guessing that nobody would want Jesus to say what he said to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. Oh, mercy. Oh, help us, Jesus, that we're not provoking that kind of response in Jesus. Well, what was so terrible that Peter was saying that could cause Jesus to rebuke him that way and call him Satan? Wow. Well, I think we should learn from Peter, right? Let's take a look at it. Let's dive in a little bit more, because there's some truth. There's some things there that the Lord wants to get to us so that we don't get that kind of a response. We're not provoking that kind of response from King Jesus. So Peter, what do we see? He's not understanding, right? When Jesus explaining, and I believe all of the disciples, when Jesus is explaining to them, and this is not the first time that he's explaining and telling them that he's going to die and he's going to suffer at the hands of the religious people. And so they just couldn't really see it. They couldn't understand. And Peter, God bless him, I can relate to Peter sometimes, just speaks out of his flesh, really, just of his carne, flesh, what his reaction to that. Peter is thinking carnally minded, like, no, Jesus, you can't leave us. You've been with us. You are our teacher. We love you. This can never happen to you. What are you talking about? He's just responding in the flesh, isn't he? He's not opening his heart to the deeper things, to really trying to understand what Jesus was saying of, what do you mean you're going to die and you're going to rise again? Why are you going to have to suffer? What is this that you're talking about? And so, Jesus reprimands him. He rebukes him harshly. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap. My goodness, that is so strong. And then he says, I'm reading from the NLT version, so different versions, of course, say it differently, but the NLT says, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. So when we consider things, situations, what we see or what we interpret going around us, when we consider situations and circumstances from merely a human point of view, we're going to go wrong. We're going to then have a wrong response, because we're looking at our own point of view, not God's. We've got to position ourselves to hear what God is saying, to see what God is seeing, to ask him. Sort of like I was talking about before, about the Holy Spirit was talking before about positioning ourselves to dive into deep waters. We've got to go low and humble ourselves. Tuck your chin in, right? I kept saying to my son when he was trying to dive, if you keep your head up, you're going to belly flop, and that really hurts. You've got to lean and you've got to tuck. Lean and tuck, right? Go low, humble yourself, lean into him. And so we've got to consider God's point of view. I mean, it's hard with our pea-sized brains, right? And we see things from the flesh, but we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, so it is possible. And the Word says we have the mind of Christ. So we should press in, we should position ourselves, God, help me see this the way you see this, and not just respond to something out of our flesh like Peter did here. Heaven forbid, Lord, this should never happen to you. And we just go off the cuff, go off the flesh. We oftentimes make judgments, don't we, about situations just based on how we see it, how we feel from that fleshly point of view, and then we get ourselves into trouble. And God is good, right? He's our good, loving Father. He's our Abba, and he wants to bless us. He wants to get truth to us. He wants to open our eyes so that we can see things from his perspective. there's an image that I love, and you guys can get that picture ready, where, you know, we only see things from a certain point of view. And let's say God is asking you to surrender something to him, to give something up. Have you seen this picture before? And I've seen it portrayed in different ways. So Jesus is asking for her to give up her teddy bear. Our son loves teddy bears. Dogs, stuffed animals. Right? And you see him here with a different one or the same ones. Oh, he's got two back there. But I love it, God. Don't ask for it. Don't let me get rid of this. I love this, right? And maybe there's a struggle. I imagine there's an internal struggle. Look at her face. Her head's kind of bowed, and she's like, oh, do I have to? And what does Jesus have behind his back? An even bigger one, an even better one. He wants to bless our children. But the point I want to illustrate here is just that he sees a different perspective than what we see. And just like Pastor Harley said during the offering message, when he speaks to us he was talking about in the context of sowing a seed, a financial seed, when he speaks to you, then there's blessing behind obedience to sowing what he speaks, right? There's something greater coming. He wants to get blessing to us all the time because he's a good, good father. And sometimes we don't have to understand. We just have to obey, right? But we can also press in and ask for his heart. We can ask to see things that we don't see, so that we're not just exploding kind of like Peter out of the flesh and then we get told, get behind me, Satan. Because we don't want to hear that. We don't want to provoke that in Jesus' heart. Let us be quick to obey. Praise the Lord. I liked that that illustration. Because you know what? Jesus could rebuke us too, couldn't he? There are situations in our lives right now, circumstances that we're just, you know, we could just speak out a whole bunch of things, a negative interpretations of that. It's really the flesh, right? And Jesus could rebuke us too. It's strong when we get rebuked, but it's appropriate because he's a good father and he knows that it's going to hurt us and he wants to get us back on track to following him to receive blessings, right? And so, you know, really there is, like, if you think about God's mission, Father God's heart for Jesus to be born into this earth and walk this earth as a man in the form of the flesh that Jesus was, that God's mission was for Jesus to die for us, to be our Savior, to be our deliverer, to be our healer, and that he is. But so there's a satanic purpose, satanic assignment against stopping, and that's what we kind of see here, stopping Jesus from going to the cross, from laying his life down. And Peter kind of was used essentially he was lining up because he was getting into the flesh and the sinful nature. He was lining up with that satanic purpose to stop Jesus from going to the cross, what the Father had determined and ordained for him. And so we do that anytime that we are speaking and just overflowing from our flesh, saying, God, no, no, you know. Well, we are lining up, perhaps, we got to ask the Holy Spirit, are we lining up? That's the question. Are we lining up with a satanic purpose to stop the will of God in my life or somebody else's life? Help us, Jesus, not be a stumbling block. We went on to read that in, was it Matthew 18, about not being a stumbling block for somebody else. Well, we don't want to be a stumbling block for the plan of God or for anyone else. We want to be lined up to God's plan and God's will and God's way. And how do we do that? We have to know when it's the flesh, to back our flesh up, back up the train, right? So It's like Jesus was saying to Peter, hey, your place is not to call the shots, Peter. And he says that to us sometimes when we need it. It's not your place to tell me, Jesus, the Messiah, what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. Your job is to get behind me and follow. And that's tough to hear. I mean, who likes to hear that? Nobody really likes to submit to our authority, right? It's hard. It's painful. The flesh goes, squeaks all the way down, right? But Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're not leading the show here. Your flesh shouldn't be leading the show. Your sinful nature, your logic, your reasoning, your emotion, any of that should not be leading the show. Father God is leading the show, and Jesus was saying this, right? And I'm lining up to it. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus, our Savior. Because without that, without his conviction and his resolve to come into line with the will of the Father, then none of us would be here. And we wouldn't have the cross. Wow, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he stuck with it. And even when there were traps like this from Satan to, you know, Peter was one of his close disciples. That he stuck to it. Your place, Peter, is behind me, not out here calling the shots. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has to say that to us too. Your job is to submit. Go low. Tuck your chin. Tuck and lean, right? Wow. Don't we just need God's perspective on all of life? We need God's perspective, not the way we see things. We need his spiritual view. Romans 8 talks about this well. Romans 8, 6 through 8, it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Bad things. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Wow, that just says it plainly, doesn't it? That'll help us out. So when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're taking care of that sinful nature. It's crucified, right? It's put under the control of the Spirit of God. And that happens, but then we need to keep walking that out every day, every minute, right? To not let, because that sinful nature in us will try to creep up. The flesh will try to get in there. Oh, but your emotions. Oh, but you feel this way. Your logic. Some folks are really led by their logic and their reasoning, and everything goes through their intellect, and that's what leads them, and it'll try to creep up, and that's how they interpret situations, and that will get us into trouble, and so will being led by our emotions. So if we've submitted, you know, once ourselves to Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior, and our sinful nature is crucified on the cross, then let's let it be that way every day. Amen? Amen. We okay? <Yep. laughs> Okay, praise God. I know this isn't like a super fun tickle your ears message, but hey, we need this, don't we? Oh, we need this. So I'm just going to let it out. What is controlling your mind? These are rhetorical questions that you can meditate on this week. What is controlling your mind? Is it your sinful nature, or is it the Holy Spirit? Because if you're allowing your sinful nature to creep back in, then I'm talking to us that are you know, believers that were saved. If we're allowing that to creep back in, then that according to what we just read, it leads to death. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Bad news, right? But if we allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which lives inside us, we have free access to that. If we allow that to control our mind, it leads us to life and peace. Well, so Choose life or choose death? What do you choose? Amen. One person choose life. I do too. Life. Run to life and peace. And so how do we get our minds to that, on that track of life and peace, when we just see the thing and we feel the thing and we see it and it's terrible and Jesus, we got to focus on Jesus, not interpret by our own fleshly eyes and our ears and how it seems, you know, what it looks like. What it feels like, our five carnal fleshly senses, let go of those and run to Jesus and keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm preaching to myself right now. Sarah, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the cross of Calvary where your sinful nature was crucified. Help me, Jesus, live that every day. So that's the question. What is controlling your mind? The sinful nature or the Holy Spirit? Here's another question. Am I agreeing with or aligning with and then therefore moving with God's point of view, the Holy Spirit, or my own sinful nature? That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. What am I mindful of? What am I focusing on? The fleshly things, what my five senses are taking in for me, my logic, my reasoning, my emotions. My mind, will, and emotions is the soulish part of me? Or am I considering the spiritual, deeper things of God? So how, okay, Pastor Sarah, I want to consider the deeper things, the spiritual things of God. How do I get there? Because I'm flesh and bone, and I have emotions, and I have five senses. So how do I get on, how do I really do that? How do I choose life and peace in my mind and everywhere, you know, with my soulish part, my mind, my will, my emotions? Well, I think it starts by renouncing your own stuff. Oh, I pray this a lot when in my personal prayer time, to renounce, to let go of my own point of view. And I say, God, I just let go of my own opinion, my own logic, how it appears to me, how it feels, and I give it to you. And I seek Him for the response. I ask the Lord for scripture. These are like good practical things here. This is how to get God's point of view on anything. Let go of your own stuff. Renounce it. Give it up to Him. And then seek God for His response. How do you seek God? That's how I do it. I worship Him. I focus on Him. I seek Him. I press in. I pray in my spirit language. Right? It's not praying and understanding at that point. It's the Holy Spirit that prays through me because He lives inside of me. And so the more I do that, it's priming the pump and it's me saying, I want to align to what you're saying. And He's going to bring understanding to my mind. Then He can bring you interpretation even in your own prayer closet and bring you understanding. Lead me and guide me, God. He will give us understanding when we ask. So seek Him for His response. Get into the Word. Speak to me, Lord. Pray and then combine them. That's a big whammy. Reading the Word and praying in tongues together. And you will find Him. He will show you His point of view on something. He'll speak a scripture. He'll give you a picture. God speaks to us in so many different ways. Amen? So it doesn't matter how He's speaking. Just say, God, I want you to speak. I take the limits off. And I renounce my own logic, my own opinions, how this seems, how this feels, even if my flesh is squealing. Whoo, we got to die to the flesh, don't we? Amen. All right, so it's in this context, then we'll move on to the next part, the next section of scripture here. It's in this context of Peter reprimanding Jesus that he's never going to, you know, this shall never happen to you, that Jesus then goes on to say what are the requirements after he rebukes Peter, of course. That we talked about. He goes on to say the requirements for being his disciple. So this is in Matthew 16, verse 24. So you know, if Jesus is conducting, he's in search of disciples, this is the job description right here. He's going to perform some, you know, call some interviews. I'm looking for some disciples. Who are the ones that are going to follow me? And he's giving the job description, the role description right here. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if, it's a condition, if any of you wants to be my follower, here it is, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. That was, I ended on verse 27 of Matthew 16. Okay, so Jesus is looking for some disciples. If any of you wants to be my follower, who wants to be his follower? Okay, then keep your hands up for the requirements. Who's ready to do this? The three requirements. You must give up your own way. Number two, take up your cross. Number three, follow me. Oh, piece of cake, Jesus, I got this. Holy Spirit, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, because he knew we would need some help. Yeah. He knew that we couldn't do this on our own. Oh, don't we need him every moment of every day. So let's unpack these three things, these three requirements to be his disciples. If you want to be his follower, the first one he said, in the NLT it says, give up your own way. Other versions say, deny yourself. Yay, sign me up. I want to deny myself. Me, myself, and I that Pastor was talking about. We make it so much about me, myself, and I that it makes denying ourselves really hard because I can't let go of me, myself, and I. All three of us, the unholy Trinity. Oh, Holy Spirit, what does it mean to give up your own way or to deny yourself? I looked up deny in the dictionary, to refuse to recognize or acknowledge. In this case, we're talking about your sinful nature. Deny yourself. That's what we were all born with, a sinful nature, right? So in this context, denying yourself, give up your own way, is give up that sinful nature, the soulish part of us, which is mind, will, and emotions. Our logic, our reasoning, our emotions, our appetites, impulses, desires. Give that up. Refuse to recognize or acknowledge. We have it. And God gave, you know, emotions. He gave us logic. That's good and it has a place. But should that be what's leading our train? No. We'll get into trouble. We'll get into a dangerous trap, like Jesus told Peter, if we allow those things to lead us. We've got to get the Spirit of God leading us. We've got to deny ourselves first, and that's the first step. Deny yourself. Renounce what comes from your flesh. Renounce means, again, to like let go. Let go of it. Let it fall away. Let that not lead you. Let that not control you. Cast down your own, let's just call it stuff. Your own stuff. Galatians 2:20 says it really good, what we're talking about. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So has your old self really been crucified? If you're a born-again believer, then yes. But let's live that way. Let's keep in line with that, that it's not me, myself, and I that's leading the show. That has to take a back seat. That has to get behind, like Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. All of that soulish, sinful nature, when I received Jesus, that died. That was crucified on the cross of Calvary. All of that died. Praise the Lord. That is some good news. And Jesus came to live inside of me with his spirit. Mind blown emoji. Like, that just boggles my mind. He would come, the sinless, spotless one would come and live inside of me, little old me. Yeah, well, he did. And when I receive Jesus, that sinful nature is crucified. It's nailed to the cross, in other words. All of that dies, and his spirit comes alive in me. So the cross, it's so representative of us. It's the symbol for us. So to truly follow Christ, to truly follow Jesus, is to allow his life and his spirit to live big in me. That's actually the title of the message. Let him live big in you. Let him live big in me. Be crucified truly with Christ. Renounce your own stuff. Okay, the second part of the requirements of us to be a follower of Jesus. Take up your cross. I brought my little wooden cross here. What does that mean? What did he really mean when he said, take up your cross? The cross, back in Jesus' day, was a symbol of death. It was how they executed people, and everybody knew it. That's how people were killed, executed. So the cross is a symbol of death. Jesus was forced to carry that symbol, the cross, on his way to the place of where he was crucified, on the cross. He willingly chose to surrender, and he determined to obey the Father's will. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that path? You know, like the stations of the cross. All those different points of him being whipped and beaten and bruised and persecuted and ridiculed and scorned. Imagine him, Jesus, carrying that cross which was going to crucify him. I can't really imagine it, but he had all those wounds and that cross heavy on his wounds for you and for me. So when he says, take up your cross, the cross is the place where my flesh, my sinful nature dies, and where Jesus' life can come alive in me, where his spirit comes alive in me. Is it fun? Is it pleasant? No, absolutely not. Is there life and something that comes out of it that's good? Absolutely. And that's why we do it. That's why he did it. That's why he did it, because he loves us so much, and he took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of the condemnation, all the illness, all the sickness, all the fatigue, all the lack. He took it all on himself. He carried that heavy cross because he loves you, and he took it all for you so that you could be free, right? When you submit yourself, when you are crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I that live, that Christ that lives within me. So the cross is that place where my flesh dies, where my human reasoning dies, where how I see it, it dies. It's the place where I die and his strength kicks in. I die and his life kicks in. I die and his spirit kicks in and leads me, because I can't do it. In all of my human nature, I need his life. I need his spirit. Praise the Lord. I am thankful for that. Because when you do really submit your own thinking, your own human nature, has anyone experienced that? His life leads you. His presence leads you. His voice leads you. His supernatural strength leads you. And it's amazing. You've got to get to that place, though, right? You got to give Jesus your hurt, your pain, the heaviness of carrying your cross, And then he will carry you. He will carry you when you say, yes, I will do it. I'll take up my cross. I renounce my own stuff and I take up my cross. Then his life can come and give you strength. His life can come and carry you. His voice can override your voice. Hallelujah. I need that. He will make your cross light when you submit and surrender to his plan, to the Father's plan, to the Father's will. We've got to walk this out with humility and grace like Jesus did. And if you're struggling, look to Jesus on the cross. I am just so preaching to myself today, guys. Look to the author and perfecter of your faith. He did it with grace and humility. I can't do it. My flesh is screaming. You can do it. The spirit, same spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives inside of you. If you tap into his heart, his life, his spirit, you can do it and you will find strength. I'm telling you, you're going to find strength. Praise the Lord. This means that we can do hard things. Not on our own strength. You can do hard things. You can walk through painful things and still have joy and peace because he lives on the inside of you. And when you say, yeah, I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to carry it, even on my wounds and my flesh is screaming, and I continue to take that path, he's going to carry you. And his life shines through. And it's amazing. And it's beautiful. And it's supernatural. And we got to go with that, church. We're in the end days, and we could look at what's happening in Israel. We could look at many different crazy situations around the world, and we could be like Peter, and we could just spout off a bunch of stuff. Or we could choose life and find peace and find his strength to walk through it with humility and grace the way Jesus models for us. So we have that choice every day. Every day. We can do hard things. So, Pastor Sarah, why? Why do I have to die? That's not fun. I had a friend when I was just beginning to follow Jesus and understand some things about renouncing and some of, you know, this, what I'm talking about. And I was talking to a friend of mine and who didn't understand really spiritual things. And I guess I made the mistake of sharing some things with her, and I was talking about how it was painful and how it was hard, and she was like, no, but why? What are you talking about? It shouldn't be painful and hard, and just like get out of that, just like turn so you can make it all feel nice and pretty. And I was like, yeah, you don't understand what I'm saying. And I realized, I gotta have wisdom. I shouldn't be saying this to that person because she really didn't have spiritual eyes to see. She didn't understand. She was talking out of her flesh, out of her, you know, the sinful part of her, just the flesh of how it appeared to her. And she thought I was crazy because like you're self-torturing, basically, was kind of her position. Like, Sarah, just get out. Just don't do it that way. And I was like, no, but I know that this is what Jesus is telling me. And she's like, just didn't get it. So why do we need to die with Christ? Why do we need to let all this stuff die? Because there's freedom. There's freedom from our sinful nature to lead us and guide us. You can be free of having your intellect lead and guide you all the time. There's freedom from your emotions. Praise the Lord, I really love this one because I used to live like a roller coaster and where my emotions would lead me up and down and all over like a roller coaster and go the loop-de-loop, and then I get whiplash in it because I'm all over the place. And you know what? With Jesus, there's freedom from that. There's freedom for that emotional part of you, or whatever part is controlling you. The Spirit of God can control you, and it's life and it's peace. So let's get freedom. Let's choose his way, his walk in step with the Spirit, so we can experience that freedom. So that's how I would answer. Well, why do I need to die? Because there's freedom there. There's life on the other side of the cross. He gave up the throne to carry the cross so that we could find that life and have walk in that shalom peace where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. We die to be set free from what enslaves us, which is sin in our sinful nature. We've got to die to that. We've got to align to Christ in that. We die to sin so we can live a life free from sin. Romans 6, 7 and 8. Geez, Romans is just a good book about all this stuff. You can just camp out there. If you're looking for something to read this week, try Romans. Try Romans 6, 7, 8. It's really good stuff. For when we died with Christ, Romans 6, verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from all the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Hallelujah! There's like joy and peace on the other side, life on the other side. We know we will also live with him and have eternal life, but we can have victorious life now, abundant life now. It doesn't just start the day you get to heaven. Let's walk in it now by choosing the Spirit, choosing life. Be free from the power of sin because he did it for you. So that's one thing. I'm going to list a few things of what we die to. So we die to sin because that enslaves us, and he died so that we could be free of that. Here's another one. We die to the law, to be set free from the law in order to live in the Spirit. Romans 7, verse 4. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is Romans 7, verse 4. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You die to the power of the law. Like in the Old Testament, following all the letter of the law, all the laws of the religious people, and the law even given by Moses, you died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are not united with the one who was raised from the dead. You are united with the one who was raised from the dead. Who's that? Jesus. You are united with him. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Hallelujah. I can do good deeds because I'm not controlled by the spirit of the law anymore. I can walk in freedom. I can do what the spirit of the living God, the spirit of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me, what that leads me to do, what he leads me to do, rather than be controlled by the law. Hallelujah. So we die to the power of sin. We die to the law. Here's another one. Oh, wait, before we get to the other one. So that was Romans 7, 4. This is Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. You can live in the Holy Spirit, and there's freedom there, and there's life there. You don't have to obey the law anymore, and that's a freeing thing, isn't it? Yeah. Praise God. Another thing we die to, the elementary principles of this world. What does that mean? Well, you want to be set free from the snares of religious, dot your I's and cross your T's, and perfectionism, and you got to do it this way. We die to that stuff. So Colossians 2, verse 20, says, you have died with Christ. Have you? You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? That was talking about all the rules about what you can eat and the foods and all this. And people were getting tripped up. So Paul was writing to the Colossian church saying, be free from all of that. Jesus freed you from all of that religious perfection tied to the law, the principles of this world. Be free. You've died with Christ. He set you free from all of that. Hallelujah. That's good. Another thing that we've died to the flesh. That's good news. We've died to the flesh in order to be set free from the bondage of the flesh. To live in bondage, captives. We were once captives to our own flesh. Galatians 5. You can look up and study these verses more in detail. I'm kind of going quickly through them. But Galatians 5, verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed, can you imagine? I should have brought a hammer and a nail today. Nailed them, passions and desires. You know, we wrote those on a little piece of paper and I had you come up and there was a big wooden cross here and I gave you a nail and a hammer. Nail it to the cross. Nail all of that that represents your sinful nature, your appetites, your impulses, your desires. Nail it to the cross and let them stay dead there. Let them be crucified there. He did that for us. And we've got to keep in line with that. So, you know, all of these changes, all of the death to the law, death to religious perfectionism, death to our sinful nature, death to the flesh, all of that happens in an instant when we are born again, when we receive Jesus. But just as slavery can be ended with a single legal act, so our slavery to what enslaves us, to what keeps us in bondage, happened then when we died with Christ. It happened. So freedom may be granted in a moment, but it takes a lifetime for us to learn how to live it out. And that's where we need the Spirit of God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live this out, to walk it out. You know, it's like we're a bird locked in a cage. And the moment we said yes to Jesus, I receive you in my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. The key turns the locked door of the cage and it swings open. But I'm still in there. I haven't learned to fly in my new nature yet. I haven't learned to, if I'm the bird that just stays in the cage, well, the door's open. Fly, little birdie. Fly, little birdie, right? Go, be free. We've got to learn to walk in it. We've got to learn to crucify our flesh every day and die to the law, die to the religious perfectionism, die to all that stuff. Because in Jesus, we are free and we can fly. The door is open. He already did it. He made the way. He got the legal contract. It's all taken care of. Fly, little birdie. Fly, little birdie. Praise God. So the third one, right? We talked about denying yourself, taking up your cross. The other requirement to be his disciple is to follow me. He says, follow me. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that leads you to deny yourself, your sinful nature, to take up your cross. And now you follow him in that. I know I've said this metaphor before, but if I'm trying to follow somebody through a crowded place like an airport, where they're busy, large airport or something, I'm going to have to stay close in order to follow so that I can hear them, I can see them, I'm right there in step. And we've got to follow him. We've got to be close so we can follow him, see where he's going. He's turning right, he's turning left. I'm going to stay right there in step because there is a lot of, you know, in a busy, crowded airport, there is a lot of commotion, a lot of things going on. People, don't you love those people? There's kind of a path going this way and a path, you know, crossing. And then there's people that just like walk right across, cut your path off. Or the ones that are just like standing right there in the middle, like standing in the middle of the walkway. And you're like, I'm trying to follow this person. And there's this obstacle, like a family's just hanging out right there, like picking a good spot to just hang, you know, stop and smell the roses. I don't know, but you got to go around it. Get out of my way. I'm following him. You know, don't be distracted. Don't be entertained by other things that come in your way. So this is what makes the difference between a follower or a fan of Jesus. Are you truly following him? Are you doing it his way? You're no longer just having your behind sit and warm this seat. Not just a Sunday Christian, but you're really following him. Your flesh is crucified and you're doing your best to deny your own stuff, not recognize or acknowledge, you know, like not let that lead you to take up your cross and go his way. Do we do it perfectly? No, we don't. But his mercies are new every day. You pick up your cross and say, okay, flesh, it's a new day. You die today. I'm following him. I'm walking after him. It's a process, right? And in the process of us learning to truly follow him is discipleship. Being on the pathway to following Jesus. Learning to hear his voice, because it's a relationship. Hearing his voice, not just hearing, you know, directions and rules and laws. Hearing his voice. You got to stay close. You got to stay leaned in. You got to be in step in order to follow him, follow Jesus. So we learn to know and obey his word, the role of his word in that. I know we've talked about that through the recent series we did, Jesus-style disciple making, about the relationship with Jesus and the word, our relationship to following him, or the role of following him through his word. And then, so those are the three requirements: deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And then that passage that we read in Matthew 16, 24 to 27, it says, verse 25, it said, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Wow. You can't gain the abundant life and resurrection life and all is sunshine and roses and pretty without dying first. That's what that means. We've got to die to ourselves. Jesus had to die first before he was resurrected, right? Is that the order in your Bible? He had to die first. And same with us. You can't have the resurrection life without first death to ourselves, to that fleshly nature. When you surrender, though, when you yield to him, surrender and yield to him, your life to Christ, you will find out who you truly are. And that's what this verse 25, Matthew 16, 25 is saying. If you cling to your life and do things, everything your way, you're just going to lose it, because it's not maybe God's, if you're doing it your way, then it's not God's plan for your life. And I don't want to miss out on anything that he's got for my life. There's been so many things in my life where I've had to choose to just say, yes, your way. Yes, your way, God. I mean, going to Argentina, after I had just graduated, well, a few years before, had my degree, I could have started my career, and God said, you're going to go to the mission field. Okay! If I had tried to hang on to my own life, then I wouldn't be here today. I would have lost it, right? Has it been easy? No. Was it fun? No. I arrived there crying for the first 2 days. I think I've told that story. And my girl that from the United States that kind of started discipling me was like, go get an agreement. Stop. Basically, she was telling me, let go of your flesh. Because for whatever reason you got on this airplane, let your flesh die. Go battle that out and then come back to me. I had such wise disciple makers. I didn't always love them. But it was good for me and I grew. Right? If you give up your life for my sake, then you'll save it. And you'll find out the true nature of who you are in him and what he's created you to do. All the things that he's placed inside of you can begin to bloom and come alive when you die and say, okay, not my way. I would have thought that I would have been married right out of a college and had a bunch of kids. And no, God said, no, that's no. If you give up your life for my sake, then you will save it. It's so good. It's so good when you do that. He's got an amazing plan for each of us. And every day, there's forks in the road. Every day we can choose which way to go. His way or my own way. So I dare you today. I dare you to be his true follower. to let go of your own stuff, let go of your sinful nature, the way of you thinking that it's got to be this way and hanging on to stuff. Give up your own way, deny yourself, take up your cross, let your flesh die. Remember, the cross is the place where your flesh says, okay, I'm not in control anymore, and it just dies. And it gets easier the more we do that. There's hope. Yes. His life will kick in. His strength will kick in. And then we can truly follow him. And we have to do that. Choose again and again every day. You won't regret. I promise. You won't regret when you let him, Jesus Christ, and the spirit of life inside of you live big in you. You won't regret it. I look back and go, well, his plan was so much better. Is so much better for my life. Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet for a moment? I've been talking for a while. Praise God. He's so good. He's got good ways for us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God. And the altar is open. If you just feel like you need to come up here and crucify your flesh, to let go of some stuff. You can do it from your seat too. Posture your heart. But just have a moment with him where you, if there's maybe a certain struggle or a certain situation or circumstance in your life, let's just go through the steps together to just to truly stay a follower through this situation and come out on with victory on the other side. So God, we deny ourselves. We deny our own sinful nature. It was crucified on the cross with Christ. And so we just let that sinful nature just, we say it's got to die. The flesh has to die. It can't control us. God, I let go of my own way of seeing this difficult situation or this difficult person or at work or whatever. I let it all go. I let go. I renounce the fact that my flesh, my emotions want to control me, or my reasoning or my logic, my own opinion, my appetites, desires, impulses. I let that all go, and I let it go on the cross of Christ. I let it die. My flesh that's bucking me and saying, no, I don't want to forgive this person. I let that go and I forgive. I extend grace and forgiveness. Just like you did on the cross, Jesus, to those who were killing you and persecuting you and ridiculing you. Oh God, we just let all of that go. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross. We meet you at that place, at the cross, where our flesh just dies and it no longer leads us. Our soulish part no longer leads us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We want to experience your abundant life. We want to experience your resurrection life. And we know that we have to die first, so we just let it go. We let it die so that your nature, your life can take hold in us in a strong, in the supernatural way that you meant for it to, because you live inside of us. So I pray encouragement over each, every one, Father. Pray encouragement, Shiakaranana, strength. Be bold to submit your flesh, to submit your sinful nature, because there you will find life. At the cross, you will find life in him. You will find his strength, and you will be able to see his point of view. To not just look at the situation anymore with a carnal mind like Peter did, but to see it and not be controlled by it, and let your spirit and your strength, your voice, lead and guide us. I pray that that process happens. Father, it starts with us. So the one that's having a struggle with that, with the flesh, I pray the supernatural strength to do that, God. And in that process, we will find you. We will find strength. And you will speak to us. And you will lead us. And you will guide us. And we walk further in victory, following you. hearing your voice, staying on the path with you, God, not getting sidetracked, not letting the devil take us out by offense or any other thing, any other distraction. We're crucified on the cross, hanging with you there with our wounds, God. But you bring life out of it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for strength and blessings over us, God, as we do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We're thankful and grateful that you are the best. You are the best Savior. You're the best deliverer. You're the best healer. The only. Thank you, God. You're the one and only in our hearts. We praise you today. We give you glory and honor.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.